So we're starting a brand new series today, a five-part message called The Thief We Let In. And the idea is that sometimes the thing that is causing us pain is maybe a choice that we're actually making or something that we ourselves are contributing to. I think the line, "It's me, hi, I'm the problem, it's me," resonated so well with people because at some level we recognize this in ourselves, that we can be adding to the problems that we might be having or the way that we're feeling based on what we're taking in and what we're allowing ourselves to see each day and how we view it. So as the intro video suggests, we'll be talking about social media and the struggles that it can bring. If we let it, social media can really steal pieces of our lives. And if you're not on any social media, I think that these messages will still speak to you because they're issues that we all face in our life depending on the feedback that we get, no matter where it's coming from. And I just wanted to say up front that I really do love and embrace the value of social media. As most of us who use it know, it can help us to feel connected with our family members and friends that we don't live close to, with people all over the world. We can promote things that are important to us. We can crowdsource a problem or get information. We can join a group of people who have the same sort of struggle we do and feel a little bit less alone. There are so many benefits to social media. But at the same time, with all the great opportunities that it provides, there are some unintended consequences. And so we want to look at a few of those issues over the next 5 weeks and contrast those struggles with some biblical values. In the weeks to come, we will talk about relationships, authenticity, compassion, and rest. Today, we are going to talk about contentment. Some people believe that discontentment has never been a bigger problem. Never before in the history of the world have people had so much and yet wanted so much more. Some sociologists believe that the social media is the biggest driving cause of discontentment because what happens when we look at other people's lives on social media is that they look perfect because they're putting out their best filtered image, right? We don't see the unfiltered version. We see the good version. I was looking once at Instagram, and it was a woman who had an account, a home account, you know, where everything looks perfect, and it's a perfect little house, and everything's always clean, and it's decorated so perfectly. But she was doing like a behind-the-scenes sort of video of all the things you don't see. And so the camera panned like to the side, and it was like all the stuff she'd shoved out of the way to get that perfect shot. And I appreciated that honesty. Because we're comparing our behind the scenes with other people's highlight reels. And it's important to remember that it's not necessarily going to be a fair comparison. We feel like losers because we see the best of their best and we know the worst of our worst. And I feel particularly bad for younger people, for our children. Because when we were kids, we just had to kind of guess about our popularity. Never before have we been able to so accurately measure it. I've only got 287 followers, and she's got 492. I'm half as popular as she is. Or my picture only got 19 likes. The one before that's 12, and my highest is only 33. And every time she posts, she gets triple digits. You can quantify how much likes you're getting. And that's got to be a terrible feeling if you're letting yourself focus on that. So we compare and we summarize. Everybody's life is so much better. And the more that we compare with others, the less satisfied we are. The Bible has something to say about this comparison that leads to discontentment, which, when we get right down to it, is envy. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16 is our text today. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. First thing to realize when we read this is that James is being a bit sarcastic with his use of wisdom when he says that this is not wisdom that comes from above. He's not really calling it wisdom. The second is that James draws attention to how serious this problem really is. Envy isn't just bad because it makes us feel bad about ourselves. It's not just unhealthy. It's sinful in the eyes of God. It is one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. So we're going to think about comparing, killing comparisons, not just for our own mental health, but for our spiritual health as well. Because it is wicked. That envy, that comparison, it's a lie of the enemy that distracts us from the wholeness that we can experience in Christ. We can search and search and get all the likes that we want and all the approval from people. But until you experience the goodness of Christ, you'll always be dissatisfied. We'll always be longing for something more because within each of us is a Christ-shaped void, a God-shaped hole in our heart, because we were made for eternity, and that is with God. So until we let Christ be all that we need, we will always be battling this enemy of discontent. So how do we overcome this sin of envy and discontent? There are two main things that I have found help me in this struggle. One is controlling my input, and the other is focusing on gratitude. So first, we're going to think about controlling our input. So that endless scrolling of Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, the video captured it so well. We spend time looking at the lives of other people, and that grass starts to look pretty green. Maybe you see a post of someone with their new car, and you hate your car. It could be that your friend is at Disney again for the second time this year, and you can barely afford a local vacation. I remember last February for the school break, I felt like everybody in the world was on a cruise except for me. I always go through Facebook and all my friends, and they're on a cruise, and they're on a cruise, and they're on a cruise, and I was here. And mostly I'm happy for my friends, and I love to see all their fun pictures, but for a second, there's that part of me that feels a little disappointed that I'm not also out there somewhere fun on a cruise. And I want to say, man, I want to go, and I feel bad about it. Or when I see the Instagram of the perfect houses, you know, those restock videos. It's really kind of soothing the way they get all those little bins and they fill them with all the things. And it looks so pretty for that moment. And I think, man, I wish I could get organized like that. But the truth is, even if I went out and bought all the fancy bins, it wouldn't be long before it was all disorganized again. If we focus too much on what we don't have, it can make us materially or financially, at some level, discontent. Or maybe you struggle with relational discontentment. You see all your friends and they're together and you're not, and you wonder, why wasn't I invited? Why was I left out? Or you see someone else and the time that they have with their children, and you're just working your tail off trying to make ends meet, and you feel guilty that you're not there having those sorts of experiences. You might see somebody's marriage, not their real marriage, their Facebook marriage, and think how great it is, and maybe find yourself a little bit envious of that status. Anytime we're looking at someone else's life and comparing it to our own, thinking, oh, I wish I was where they were, or I wish I had that, it builds just a little bit at a time into resentment and discontent. So it's important to control that input, to not scroll endlessly and look at what triggers it, to remember that when we do see it, it's not always real, that there is a bunch of stuff that got shoved to the side to take that perfect picture. You might need to hide the feed of certain people that trigger that envy or discontent in your life. Some of you may need to take a social media break. I've had to do that from time to time, just log out for a little while, enjoy real life for a bit. And you could even take it beyond social media, because we get these sort of messages from all over the place. You might need to stop ordering certain catalogs that come to your home, cancel those subscriptions that leave you sort of always wanting more. Maybe don't go visit the boat show or the car show or whatever kind of show it is that has those things that you really wish you could have. And not only are we going to kill comparisons in that way by controlling our input and remembering that what we're seeing isn't really real, but I also find that it helps to celebrate the successes of others. It helps my heart that when someone else is blessed in a way that I might like to be blessed, I can celebrate with them. It helps to purify the intentions of my own heart. In fact, I read one definition of envy. Envy is resenting God's goodness in other people's lives and ignoring God's goodness in your own life. It's pretty powerful to think about envy that way. Normally, we kind of boil it down and just think, oh, well, it's just simply wanting what someone else has. But it's bigger than that. Envy is resenting God's goodness in someone else's life and ignoring God's goodness in our own lives. So we can celebrate with others. We can remember it's not real. And we can maybe spend a little less time looking at all that perfection that we don't have. And the second thing that we're going to do is to cultivate gratitude in our life. Proverbs 15:15 has such a powerful verse about attitude. It says, "For the despondent, every day brings trouble." Some of you know people like this. Some of you might be people like this. It's going to be a bad day. Oh, it's going to be a horrible day. Oh, the market's down. Everything's bad. I'm still struggling. I'm so upset. Waking up every day, dreading what might be ahead. For the despondent, every day brings trouble. The second part of that is, but for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. For the happy heart who might have the same day as the despondent person, the happy heart sees the blessings of it. The happy heart is ready to see God's goodness. Because if we are looking for the bad in the world, we are guaranteed to find it. But if we want to see God working, if we look for God working, we can see that. For the happy heart, it's a continual feast. I really admire those people who every time they're asked, how is it going? The answer is, life is good. I'm blessed. And that they mean it sincerely. My dad, every time I ask him how he is, when I call him or talk to him on the phone or see him at a visit, he goes, oh, I'm just doing great. I'm glad I woke up this morning. And he means it. He has a whole day ahead of him of whatever it is he wants to do as a retired guy. He's getting to that age where he really is happy he woke up that morning. And whatever else happens is gravy, right? He's kind of being silly, but it's true. When we look at every day as a gift, it is one. In fact, Solomon, who was the richest man of his time, some people would believe dollar for dollar the richest man of all time, said in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 9, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. If you want to have a feast of a life, you enjoy what God has given you rather than longing for what you don't have. Be thankful for what God has given you instead of looking at someone else's post on Instagram and thinking, well, I wish I had their life. I've really come to discover that others are longing for your life in ways that you don't even know. Blessings that you have are prayers of someone else. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's not really true because I've got this and this and this and all these terrible things going on. But you probably have a handful of wonderful things that somebody else longs for. I was listening to a conversation between two moms, and they had become friends over time, but before they really knew each other very well, and they were just sort of like Facebook friends, they were kind of thinking about that period and talking about how much they hated each other then. They could be honest about it now. And one was a working mom, and she said, you know, I just hated you because you were like this perfect Pinterest stay-at-home mom, and you had all these crafts and this structured time with your kids, and it just made me feel so guilty. And then the stay-at-home mom said, well, I hated you because you had a life and you were out there and you were seeing people and you're in public, and I haven't had my hair in anything but a ponytail since like 2010. So we have these two people comparing and longing for what each other had. Enjoy what we have rather than longing for what we don't. That is the kind of gratitude that helps us reach contentment. But I do want to take a second to say what contentment is not. It doesn't mean that we won't still have desires. You can be content in Christ and still desire for something to be different. Contentment doesn't mean we can't want better circumstances for our lives and for our families. We can be content in our job, but still desire a different one. We can be content with our children and still desire more sleep. We can be content in whatever season we're in and still desire for something to be different. There is certainly this tension that exists between contentment and improvement. And for me, the answer to that tension, or at least part of it, lies in motivation. Is the drive for improvement coming from an internal motivation? Are we wanting to improve the health and well-being of ourselves and our families? That's a good kind of motivation. That's a good drive for improvement that we can have while still holding contentment. Or is it an external motivation? Are we just wanting to improve to look better for others or to sort of keep up with the Joneses? Contentment isn't about giving up on our dreams or settling for less. It's about appreciating what we have. Not trying to keep up with everyone else allows us to make deliberate choices about how we spend our lives. Contentment really frees us from that game of comparison where we get to decide what matters. We get to decide what success looks like and what kind of life we want to lead. A content person is grateful for the moment while striving towards making tomorrow better. So when my life is good, I thank God for his blessings. And when my life is not what I want it to be, I thank God for his goodness, that he is working in all things to bring about good for those who love him and live for his purpose. The Apostle Paul was really the master of responding to issues of contentment with a Christ-like perspective. He's writing this passage in prison under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. Life is not great for Paul as he writes Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. In other words, if life is going the way that I want it to, or if life is not going the way I want it to at all, I know the secret of being content. You want to know the secret? Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The secret of contentment is found in Christ and Christ alone. And until Christ is all you'll have, you'll recognize that Christ is all you need. If we want to find the power of contentment, if we want to find the power that releases us from comparing ourselves to others, that releases us from feeling like we need to live a certain way, that releases us from that sin of envy, you let everything else be stripped away and cling to the Savior. You cling to the Son of God and recognize that His presence is real, that He offers a peace that goes beyond our human ability to comprehend, that He is our rock, that He is our sustainer, that He is our redeemer. It is easy to fall into the trap of comparison. It's easy to find ourselves wishing that we had it a little bit more like someone else. Whatever it is that we feel that we're lacking. It's really easy to forget that we're only seeing the highlight reels of someone's life. But Christ is the peace that covers our mind. He is our assurance. And He is everything that we need. Let us pray. Almighty God, we know that we all come from an earthly place. We come from a place fueled by competition and ambition and want. Help us to realize that gratitude gives us an attitude of abundance. Help us to remember that what you have planned for our lives is better than what we want for ourselves. Help us to look inward and be honest with ourselves about what we're wanting and where that drive is coming from. Is it coming from a healthy place, a place that wants to live a kind of life that serves you, or is it coming from a place of envy? And when we recognize, God, that we might be struggling with comparison, grant us your peace, your assurance. Help us to remember that our identity in you is the only one that matters, and that through you, through your strength, we can do all things. We pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.